Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. What's on your mind? Type it to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. If and you happen to be the type of person who likes to talk, which I have discovered, most people in the South, they qualify. Please call 1-877-282-BEEP. But to demonstrate how hip, groovy, and contemporary we are, rap version. Yeah, we are.
We are?
1-877-282-BEEP.
That's the number of the old toll-free. Let's get to it, shall we? This sent from... Well, that's an interesting name. Moon Wizard. I'm not kidding. That must be their handle on their CB radio or something like that.
Wasn't that an Andy... What was his name song?
That was Moon River.
That was a...
Moon Williams?
Wizard.
Andy Williams.
He sang that a lot at the Branson. Speaking of CDs, tried to use the DVD player last night to watch The Chosen. We discovered, I was going through a desk, and Gary gave me a copy of The Chosen a long time ago. Some people weren't thrilled at me that I didn't actually watch it before reviewing it. It was actually a review of a review, and a review of The Chosen was, it seems that people are giving it rather favorable reviews, and yet there could be things inside of it that get up your nose. That was our review. Maybe somewhere in there I snuck in something about somebody's mother. Because, wow, did some people get annoyed with me for that. I didn't think that I had said anything bad about a family member. I thought that I was just giving a review of some of the things that might bother you. But overall, it seems to be a positive experience for most people watching The Chosen. Stumbled across it and tried to put it into our DVD player. Couldn't make it work.
Was it a Blu-ray? Maybe a Betamax?
No, it wouldn't
Betamax
connect to the TV. Though. We haven't used it for so long that we didn't know how it was. You know, it used to be HDMI 1, your plugins and what have you. Couldn't figure it out, and we went, well, I guess we'll just have to stick with the review of the review until we can get that thing figured out.
I'll just read the book.
You have any 10-year-olds in the neighborhood?
No, that's exactly what we said. That is, believe me. That is precisely what we... Yeah. Where's a teenager when you need one, huh? Huh?
Granddaughters, God bless them.
From Moon River, which was actually the name of Andy's place in Branson. I think it was the Moon River Theater.
Hey.
You know, that guy could sing.
He could.
He had... look, he may not be your cup of tea. I didn't have any of his albums, certainly. Tony, you loved all of his hits when they first came out.
I played them as hits back in the day, yes.
Did you on radio? You did not.
Actually, I did a Blue Moon show for an hour every night, which featured things of that era, yeah.
Now, wait a second.
My first job.
Hold it.
Yeah.
Hold it right there.
Yeah.
We've been working together for how long now, dear?
722 years, give or take.
No, I didn't say how long does it feel like we've been working together. How long have we been working?
Oh, it's been longer than that,
15.
Hasn't it? 15 years?
15 years. Okay. Yeah. I knew that you did morning radio, so...
A lot,
Tony,
yeah.
just humor me. Back that must have been the era of the early 80s, give or take, something like that. And it was the top 40 station. So why don't you spin the latest Madonna song for me as Tony
Actually,
the Morning Guy?
It was late 80s, early 90s, but thanks for shopping at Kmart.
Okay, but Madonna was... So get intro a Madonna song for me.
I never really...
Ooh,
Was that the Like a Prayer era?
I did see. Now, remember when Like a Prayer was such a big deal? They actually had
so
listening parties because it came out at 7 o'clock nationwide.
Wow. The Madonna was a big deal. So in other words, what you're telling me is I'm not going to get it.
The entire staff was there.
Okay, so give me a little introduction to Tony Bennett, I Left My Heart in Sam Frank's Disco.
I don't know. KMHL's Blue Moon Ballroom is one of my favorites from way back when.
No, come on, man. Put your heart and soul into it.
Unless, of course,
you weren't putting your heart and soul in it. No wonder why you got fired from that place.
I got fired from every place.
This email from Andy Williams saying, what's your opinion on boredom? As humans, we tend to get bored sometimes. Yes, we do. I've heard some people call boredom a sin, but that doesn't seem right to me. What's your thoughts? My thoughts are of a logical fallacy that I think is happening more perhaps than ever. What is the name? There's a name of a fallacy that takes a word that has one meaning and one supportable definition, and then you use it to bring it into another category. Well, I can't think of the name of it. Joey, do you know which one I'm talking about?
It's ambiguity, equivocation?
I think it's equivocation. Yeah. Okay, so here's an example of this. I just saw this article, maybe you did too, about some bats that survived a hurricane or something because they had bigger pads on their feet. And it said something like, bats evolve bigger feet to, you know, demonstrate, proving that evolution is true. Whoa. What just happened there? They took microevolution, which could be sometimes their feet get bigger, sometimes their feet get smaller, depending on the circumstances. So they evolve in a micro way, bigger feet, because typically it's because they survive. It's sort of like the finches on the island of Galapagos that Darwin observed. The beaks got longer because only the beaks of the birds that were longer could actually get to the seeds because there was a drought. But once the drought lifted, the beaks kind of shrank back, if you will, because those birds with the shorter beaks could survive. See, that's evolution. No, that's perhaps adapting to your scenario, and it's microevolution, if you will. But a bat is never going to become a dog. And a finch is never going to become a hippopotamus. And so they take the word. See, that's evolution. There's evolution. Oh, no, you just did the equivocation business. You took micro and then you applied it to macro. And I think that's happening a lot these days. I see that with the word stressed, depressed, anxious. Look, depressed should mean something. Depressed should be, you say to somebody, I'm really depressed. They should say, did you lose a loved one? Was your fortune wiped out? Well, not these days, what are you depressed about? Man, this marker just ran out. I am so depressed, man. I just got this thing. Okay, whoa, hold on a second. Words have meanings here. And I wonder, to the Andy Williams fellow who wrote in, if boredom isn't maybe being used here categorically a little bit sloppily. To get bored is not a sin. You're just bored. Some stuff is boring, unless there's a verse in the Bible that says boredom in and of itself, which actually isn't a thing. It's an emotion. I'm bored with this. I'm tired of this. I find this repetitious. It's not stimulating to me. There's nothing sinful about that per se. If you're talking about not having something to do and just having to chill with your thoughts or even resting, doing something in your downtime that just kind of is, it's not work, it's not pressure. There's nothing sinful about that unless it has become your effective idol or unless you're just doing too much of it. How much is too much? That's up to each individual to figure out. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. Oh, this is pretty amazing here. We've actually got a theme going on. This is from Mel Torme, writing into idea@wretched.org. Why was he the Velvet Fog or the Velvet Bog? Which one was it? You're the Moon River guy. You should fog. Know this stuff. Fog? Okay, yeah, I don't know. Like a fog rolling in. But he never had that many hits, did he?
Nobody was Bobby on everybody's Darin television show. Good,
I just know him from Night man. Court.
I don't think that's the same guy, Joey.
No, it is.
It is.
Yeah, Harry Anderson or Judge Harry Stone's favorite musician was Mel Torme. He had a picture on the wall, and he showed up a few times.
Mel writes, basically, I'll just kind of whittle this down. He's got a family member who's Roman Catholic. How do you witness to them? All right, I'll add to that question, John. How do you witness to a Muslim? How do you witness to a Mormon? How do you witness to somebody who's a rank atheist? I think it's the same way. We can know a little bit about somebody's worldview to understand it. We can even ask questions. But ultimately, the gospel doesn't change. The ears of the hearer does not change the way that we present the gospel. Now, that doesn't mean situation, understanding, what's going on, time limitations, that they don't play into it. But the gospel basically is this. Remember, who is God? I'm trying to remember my own acronym and I'm failing. Who is God? High and holy and sovereign. Who are we? Sinful and fallen. What do we deserve? His temporal and eternal punishment. What has God done for us? He sent his son Jesus Christ to die for sinners. What must you do to inherit eternal life? Be forgiven of your sins, adopted into the family of God. Repent and trust. And that is the gospel in a nutshell. Who, what? I'm getting that trademark soon, so don't even think about nabbing that bad boy and putting it on a t-shirt. Who, what? Whether they're Catholic or a Confucius's person. Doesn't matter. Gospel doesn't change. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us. Appreciate when you listen to Wretched Radio. And thanks to our gospel partners. What with this unique time in history, we truly appreciate your continued generosity. It allows Wretched to be, well, wretched. Please know that you are deeply appreciated. If you're not a gospel partner, would you prayerfully consider it? But only consider it if you are truly able. Visit wretched.org/donate for all the details on how you can partner with us to help reach the lost. You see, the more you can give, the more we can give away. So if you are able, visit wretched.org/donate and join us in preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach and defend the gospel, and to strengthen the local church. wretched.org/donate to become a gospel partner. And since I'm in an asking mood, would you please add us to your prayer list? We would be deeply grateful. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Not to say I told you so, but I've been sharing with you how Tomorrow Club's Think Kids camps in Eastern Europe meeting weekly to hear the gospel. Kids get saved, parents get saved, and churches get revitalized. Here is just one example so I can say, I told you so.
There is actually was a dying church, only two families. So this lady, she's a school teacher. Someone told her about this village, so she came, and believe it or not, she has about 40 kids coming to the Tomorrow Club from the villages around. So the whole church is filled with kids.
Love hearing that. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe? Kids are getting saved, families getting saved, and churches revitalized. $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Here at Wretched, we rely on our gospel partners because without you, there is no us. To show you how much we appreciate you and how much we need you, we wrote you a haiku. Please partner with Wretched. You will not regret it. Counting is hard. Okay, I'm the first to admit, not very good at haikus, but we do truly still need and appreciate our gospel partners. Our gospel partners not only help us keep the lights on around here, but they allow us to keep making Wretched every day. So if you are a gospel partner, thank you very much for your support. We do truly appreciate you. If you're not a gospel partner, would you consider it? If you love listening to Wretched and want to continue to hear us every day, visit wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. wretched.org/donate. And no more haikus. wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
books of the Bible. John, the beloved disciple, author of the Gospel of John and Revelation, also wrote three epistles. In this first epistle of John, the apostle has one main concern, that we may know if we have eternal life and if our faith is genuine faith. If you want to know that you have eternal life, turn to 1 John and see what he has written for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How do you drive down ratings? Well, just stay tuned.
The autumn leaves live by my window. The fallen leaves.
This is Tony Verkennis bringing you the hottest cuts from 40 years ago. Right here on WLBO.
The sunburned hand.
This is the Velvet Fog himself, Andy Williams. Where are my notes?
Should be KBMR, K Boomer.
This is. He sounds amazing, actually. He's older in this. This is 1990.
63.
I last heard of the crooner.
No, I don't think Tony Bennett is still tootling around, but he was trying at about 88, 89. Their voices, they just seem to last when you don't tear them to shreds by just screaming all the time. This is Wretched Radio. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org. This from Chris. Hi, guys. That's
hi, Chris.
Thank you very much. I'm sending... The warmth, Joey. The warmth. I have to confess to you.
Hi, Chris.
I felt
welcome
the Christian
the
love. I'm sending everyone in my hood a copy of The Man Who Split Time, available at wretched.org/time. Well, I'm so glad that you're doing that, Chris. Can I just put them in a mailbox, or should I mail them? Yeah, there's a legality issue here. It's against the law to put stuff in somebody's mailbox. Now, can you actually, like, rubber band it to the mailbox? I think you can. I'm not exactly sure on that one, but you can't put it in their mailbox. You can bring it to their door if you want to. You can leave it at their door. I have been seeing some people do really creative stuff in Corona time. A lot of baking going on. That's why you can't find any flour at the store. The cinnamon is gone. We're at the okay. Don't know if you know this one. Maybe this is like coffee 101. We put cinnamon into the coffee grounds. Oh. And so we pick up a vat of cinnamon at Costco. That's not needed to be said because that's just assumed the size. And we always think, we're never going to go through. It's about $3, and you get this a trash can full of cinnamon. They don't have any right now. People are baking up a storm. How's about baking up some goodies and delivering them to your neighbor with a gospel tract? A gospel booklet. Now, I don't want to suggest it should be The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, available at wretched.org/time. I don't want to do that, but you could do that. Well done, Chris, that you're even desiring to try to witness. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org. All right, as long as we're talking about The Man Who Split Time, give me a number, Tony, and maybe this will just inspire you to put you in the mood.
The autumn leaves drip by my window, the falling leaves.
I can't believe how good he sounds. He's got to be in his 70s there.
Well, you
That's
know, when
unbelievable.
You did, when you did two shows a night, 365 days a year, your voice gets strong and solid.
Well, but he's at two, they don't shred it with all the yelling that goes on with the kids and their music these days. All right, give me a number. Yep. Between 1 and 22, because this is 22 proofs Jesus is God. Go ahead. Hit me.
8.
Number 8 it is. 8. Well, thank you very much 8. For calling, Tony. Jesus receives worship.
Sure.
I think we did that one already. So I'll do, how's about 9? Jesus raised himself from the dead. That's a pretty good proof that you're God, that you can do something outside of the natural. Jesus ascribes God's holy name to himself, calling himself Yahweh. Number 11, Jesus claimed to run the universe. You know, it takes a pretty special person to do that. No, it actually takes God. Jesus claimed power to render final judgment. Jesus said he's to be believed in. Jesus said he's omnipresent. Jesus calls himself God. How? The Bible, rather, calls himself God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that had come into being. Now, I know the Jehovah's Witnesses like to use their own translation to tell you, it just says a God because it doesn't have a definite article. That's Greek 101. Furthermore, the Greek word order is actually not, and the Word was God. The Greek word order is, and God was the Word. Nevertheless, it is clear Jesus Christ is God. You could give this away with something made out of cinnamon, apparently, because there isn't any available these days at the Costco.
I think the toilet paper shortage was just a diversion for all the people to buy up flour and cinnamon.
Was watching a video on the thing with the deal. You know, with that they pop up on your Facebook dealio? Demonstrating that I know all about this Insta-Twitter business that the kids do these days. And it was, they put up one roll of toilet paper that the dog had to jump over to get a treat. And then they put him on the other side again. And then they put up two rows of toilet paper. And the dog just, boop, jumped over two rows of toilet paper, going through like a hallway. And then three. And then, and it was a little dog, a little terrier. They put up like six rows of toilet paper. And while everybody's like, oh, isn't that cool how that dog can jump? And then they put it up to the seventh row, and the dog just breaks through it, pushes it through with his nose, because he even knows, I can't do that. But I'm going, hey, we could use some toilet paper in the Friel household. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. You are right.
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
Let me mark that down.
Let me just take a moment.
Who said what?
Collect myself. I don't know what happened there. Somebody needs to put on some sunblock or something. This is in reference to the conversation that we had earlier this week on Wretched Radio about why so many people disagree about the response to coronavirus. Where are we at? What's the peak? What's the curve? What should we do? Shelter in place, let people go, et cetera, et cetera. It was an effort to try to explain why we disagree. And specifically, it really was for both Christians and unbelievers alike. But I guess maybe we were focusing more on unbelievers, although that really wasn't my intention. It was to demonstrate we bring stuff to the party. We bring our presuppositions and our experiences to the subject. And we do it not only with coronavirus. We do it with Scripture. We do it with application. We do it when we're judging what we see in the news or the story that we hear about somebody's behavior in church. We bring all kinds of things to the party. For instance, let's just say for a moment that somebody in your church, it has been revealed, for some reason this was made public, they struggle with pornography and they have been busted by their spouse and it looks like they've got a stash of it that even the police are investigating. If you happen to be a man who struggles at all, I'm not suggesting you're anywhere near that fellow's proclivity, but maybe even in the past you struggled with it, you're going to bring that to your response to that fellow. And I'm not saying it's going to come out one way. It could come out in all kinds of different ways, like, I can't believe that guy is such a perv. Man, he needs to stop because you stopped it with God's help. And so you see somebody that's doing it, and it infuriates you. Or your response is, yeah, it's hard, man. I get it. It's because it's still something that is a struggle for you. Why a different response than maybe somebody, it's never been an issue, or a woman who can't for the life of her understand what is the deal with you guys and the pornography? Now, look at the variance in responses. It doesn't matter whether it's an unbeliever or a believer. We bring all of that to the party, how we go about the business of interpreting, which is kind of the answer to the question that Sherry sent in. You're right. Oh, sorry, I just can't get past that. You're right that worldview may inform these viewpoints, but when we are both Christians, why do we have a different view? And it's because we bring those things and we don't erase our presuppositions like we ought. Furthermore, we can't forget the effects of the fall, the noetic effect on the noggin that we don't do a great job of processing anything, frankly, let alone God's word. We definitely need his Holy Spirit to help us do that rightly. And so we see the effects of the fall, which is why we Christians can disagree on, for instance, coronavirus. You've got different Christians, lockdown, let it go. Trump did this. The World Health Organization did that. All different takes on it because of the fall. Furthermore, when it comes to theology, we can do the very same thing. We bring these things to our understanding of the issues. She writes, I'm noticing Christians who are older folks who are more susceptible are more frightened and terrified of this virus and hollering at the younger folks who are living life and want to get back to work because we don't seem to be taking this seriously. Now, believe me, Sherry, this is not a poke at you. Seriously, it's not. But I think you identified you're a younger folk. It's not as much of a concern for you. The statistics are clear. I think the average age, I think, is somewhere in the upper 70s, something like it. Doesn't matter. It's an older demographic. And if you're not in that demographic, well, you bring that attitude. And if you're in that demographic, hey, what are you doing out there? I could die from this. That is why, when it comes to these issues, we need to remember we bring presuppositions and influences with us, but forget the realm of coronavirus. This is true in the church. This is true in your home. This is true when we interpret anything, especially the Bible. We must lose our presuppositions if we are going to understand it rightly. This is Wretched Radio.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. The Trump administration ensured Planned Parenthood clinics would not receive rescue funds through the Paycheck Protection Program, according to multiple reports yesterday. The program's a part of the larger CARES Act that helps small businesses stay afloat during the COVID-19 pandemic. The loans are forgiven if all employees are kept on the payroll for 8 weeks, and the money is used for payroll, rent, mortgage interest, or utilities. The Trump administration, though, determined Planned Parenthood clinics were ineligible. A senior White House official told Fox News that through the Paycheck Protection Program, President Trump is delivering vital relief to help small businesses keep employees on payroll. It's clear that the abortion industry shouldn't be able to qualify for those funds, which are desperately needed by small businesses. The Daily Signal first reported the news. The Paycheck Protection Program applies only to businesses with fewer than 500 employees. Planned Parenthood doesn't qualify, the official told the Daily Signal, because it exceeds that number. The official added that while not all Americans share President Trump's pro-life beliefs, there is broad bipartisan support for the idea that American taxpayers should not have to fund abortion. He said while each Planned Parenthood affiliate has fewer than 500 employees, nationwide there are over 16,000 employees. So when applying the program's affiliation rules neutrally, it's clear that Planned Parenthood is one large employer and not eligible for the money. In Kentucky, Attorney General Daniel Cameron this week urged the state's governor to rescind the ban on in-person church gatherings and said he would file a lawsuit if nothing is done. Cameron is a Republican, and he alleges that a March 19th order by Democratic Governor Andy Beshear and state officials unconstitutionally targets faith-based gatherings. The order bans mass gatherings, including faith-based ones, but carves out at least 8 exceptions, including ones for factories and grocery stores. Cameron said this week by specifically banning faith-based mass gatherings while allowing other secular organizations and activities to continue operation, Governor Beshear has deliberately targeted religious groups. Cameron alleges the targeting continued when, quote, the governor ordered state police to track the license plates of those who attend a faith-based gathering on Easter Sunday, and it continues even this week as he allows some businesses to resume operations. The March 19th order allows certain businesses to remain open provided they maintain appropriate social distancing, yet it provides no such exemptions for faith-based gatherings, adding Governor Beshear should immediately rescind the executive orders targeting faith-based gatherings, and if he doesn't, then will be forced to file a lawsuit and allow a judge to determine whether his order as it pertains to religious groups is constitutional. The governor had the standard response defending the state order, saying, I'm not trying to set rules that are difficult, and I'm not trying to set rules that are controversial. I'm just trying to save people's lives. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Yeah. lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sensus literalis. The Bible is to be read in the literal sense, the way the author and original audience would have understood it. There is no code, no secret meaning to be uncovered. The Bible is plainly written so that all people can know God through its pages. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You are never going to guess this.
Come on down.
This is Wretched Radio. We will return to your questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, and to idea at wretched.org. But first, guess. Go ahead and guess what Bible verse says Nancy Pelosi used to support her call for prisoner releases amid the pandemic. That's right. You need to go find a Bible verse to justify somehow the releasing of prisoners who have earned their reward, called imprisonment, the penal system, for their crimes against, well, all of us. Nancy wants to release them because the pandemic, we shouldn't have the sort of people in prison. Let's just let them go. You got to find a Bible verse. Which one you going to pick?
Give us Barabbas.
You know what? That would be better. In an interview with MSNBC host Joy Reid on Sunday, Pelosi was asked if future COVID-19 relief legislation will include the release of prisoners. Pelosi offered Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Quote, "In our caucus, we're very devoted to the Gospel of Matthew. I don't know why. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was homeless, you sheltered me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And so this for us is part of our value system." That is the Bible verse that she chose to justify the release. You visited me in prison.
I was going to guess that as a joke.
Maybe she meant that her translation said,
I can't stretch
said,
that far.
Unbelievable. You talk about twisting scripture. The parable happens to be about sheep and goats separated at the final judgment. Now that we might be getting warmer on. Social justice advocates, they love that parable to assert Jesus' demand to care for those who are vulnerable or marginalized. Look, we do care for those who are vulnerable and marginalized. We do. And this parable, we can see a demonstration of that. Jesus didn't have in mind releasing prisoners because of a potential pandemic. That's the point. And so they're not wildly blind in using that text to say, hey, Christians should be feeding, Christians should be sheltering, should be clothing. Now, we do have a problem with it being removed from the realm of the personal into the realm of the institutional, specifically the government, because that isn't compassion. That isn't offering, if you will, social justice individually. That's the government taking one person's money to give it to another. There's another Bible verse that describes that. Thou shalt not steal. Christians are motivated to help marginalized and the poor because we are the marginalized and poor who have been given vast riches by Jesus Christ, spiritually, in the heavenly realms. Therefore, we desire to help others when we see them in their need. Jesus was compassionate. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus fed the hungry. Jesus is our model. Jesus didn't ever suggest that we release the prisoners because of a virus. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. It has to be noted again. Nancy Pelosi, without a Christian worldview, she cannot care about people who are getting coronavirus. An unbeliever cannot use their worldview to rightly say, we're in this together. That is not a godless worldview. And we see that all over the place, don't we? Hey, we're in this together. That's all the commercials. I see signs out on yards, etc. We're in this together. And I want to say, tell me, where do you get that concept from? Where do you get that idea? How do you know we're in it together? What's your source of authority for that? Once again, this is an issue of says who. All right, you've staked out a moral position. Says who? Back it up. An unbeliever cannot. Only the Christian can say, we love our neighbors as ourselves. Why? Because we're commanded to by Jesus Christ. Did Charles Darwin tell you that we're in it together? Richard Dawkins, did he? What authority does he have? The Christian worldview is compassion and care and love and service and feeding and visiting in the hospital, because we have been visited. We have been clothed. We have been fed, both spiritually and physically. Out of that flows a desire to do likewise. A godless worldview? So please, everybody who's not a believer, why don't you apply your own worldview? Use your own worldview. Put up your sign. You know what the worldview of the evolutionists, the sign that they should put up in their front yard? Hope you weak ones die. That would be consistent. Hope you people with the issues that you've got the before you get the corona
underlying
conditions. Yeah, if you got it, I sure hope corona takes you out. That should be what their signs say, but they don't. Once again, they jump into the Christian car and use it when convenient. And there's a part of me that gets annoyed at that. There's another part of me that goes, whew, I am so glad God's common grace keeps them from thinking the way that they should if they're really informed by their worldview. Because let me tell you something, that's a scary place to live. This is Wretched Radio. Your email sent to idea@wretched.org. I'm going to leave this fellow's name out of it. My question is, how do I proceed? Am I to submit to a Christian leader that operates this way? What way, you ask? Pastor votes in every election for Democrats. Well, that's an interesting one, isn't it? I would respond and say a couple of things. This would be a fruit. I would suggest there's a different root. I wouldn't run away from your pastor just on the surface of this. I would want to dig in and ask why. Do you understand the issues? Do you understand the platforms? Do you understand the intents? Do you understand that it is not the same party that it was 20 years ago? Are you aware of these issues? What is your understanding of the life issue? Why do you overlook the fact that this is a party that actually has it codified in their agenda that they want abortions? Forget safe, legal, and rare. They want them all the time, anytime you want. If they could have a drive-through abortion clinic, they'd open it up. Wouldn't be surprised if that's probably not happening already. Are you aware of that, sir? I would want to dig down deeper. Then I would want to bring up some Bible verses, take him to Psalm 139. I would want to understand his understanding of the Bible. That is where I would want to go with this before just on the surface going, okay, that's it, I'm out of here. Now, I think in that conversation, if he persists, you're going to see all kinds of hermeneutical issues, all kinds of understandings about his view of the Bible. And if you cannot submit yourself to a man who does not handle the word rightly as manifested in the way that he sees our societal issues and our political issues, I would be slow to submit to somebody like that too. If they can't get something that basic about life and marriage and genders and sexuality, how can I bring my complex issues? Furthermore, what if he discovers that I'm like rabidly pro-life? Will I get disciplined for those things? I think underneath all of this, you're going to find other things that will be revealed, and that's going to make the decision for you. And speaking of our attitude toward the Bible and its sufficiency, last night was going through a stack of papers from old. I've got a file cabinet down the hall here, and it's all old stuff, and I mean old. I was finding things from 2002, and this was a particular teampyro.blogspot.com post from Phil Johnson when he was asked the question, do you think somebody who does not believe in the sufficiency of the Bible can actually be a Christian? And it was a very thoughtful answer, which means I won't do it justice, but remember this. The Reformers, I believe, so would the Puritans, would probably have a really, really strict line on this. If you do not believe in the Chicago Statement of Inerrancy, which they didn't actually have, but they would have believed, they probably would go, you're out of here. If you do not believe in all of the E's of the Bible, the inerrancy, the infallibility, the sufficiency of the Bible, then you're out. And Phil's statement was, I thought, more thoughtful and yet holding a line. There's a difference between somebody who perhaps misunderstands sufficiency, misunderstands God's word, and yet understand, or versus the person who understands it, studies the issue, and then goes, no, I don't believe in the sufficiency of the... That's a different deal. Somebody who hasn't thought it through, thinks it through, has had some bad teaching, wouldn't disqualify somebody from the kingdom. Somebody who's entrenched, that's a different story altogether.
That's a different story.
Thank you very, very much. By the way, do you know the difference between infallibility and inerrancy? Which word do you think is stronger? Most likely you're going, oh, inerrancy. That's the strong word that we use. Actually, it's not. Infallibility is the stronger of the two words. Inerrancy is it doesn't have mistakes. Infallibility is it can't have mistakes. That's like taking and going a notch further. The Bible is all of those things. It doesn't have mistakes. It can't have mistakes because God can't lie, and his word is truth. And it is also sufficient for all of life and godliness. And that means all of it. And we need no external revelation from God because everything we need is right there in the book. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org. If you'd be so kind, this is Wretched Radio. First, the good news from the Philippines.
Every day in the whole Philippines, there are thousands of new believers being baptized. There are many churches that are being planted right now. The church is strong here and ready to carry on the Great Commission.
That's excellent news, but there is some bad news.
A Bible study leader is not able to provide Bibles for them because he himself do not have any support for the ministry. He's having a hard time even to find his transportation going to the Bible study.
That's not good at all, but it gets worse, I'm afraid.
Filipinos cannot afford to buy a Bible because poverty, and they are very much engrossed trying to make a living for their family. So no more funds to buy a Bible.
You and I can change that for just $5 per Bible with Bible League International. We can bless our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. How many Bibles could you send? Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
Imagine, if you would, a man. A man who lived such an extraordinary life that Western civilization actually changed the entire calendar system to commemorate his birthday. The obvious question would be, who was that man? Followed by, what did he do to deserve such an honor? Well, that man doesn't have to be imagined. That individual is Jesus Christ. The man who split time. 22 Proofs Jesus is God is the perfect booklet for every skeptic or unbeliever who believes that Jesus was just a mere mortal. To get your copies of The Man Who Split Time, visit wretched.org/time today. Read it, and you'll be back. And get me more copies to give away to anyone and everyone. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God is available now at wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time. Wretched. Amazing grace.
Good news? Yeah! Lots of it. Due to the pandemic, guess who's been shut down for a number of weeks? That's right, Planned Parenthood. You know what that means. Women who are experiencing a crisis, they are fleeing to other centers to get prenatal help and free ultrasounds. That means preborn centers are busier than ever. That means you and I have an opportunity to support them, to be giving free ultrasounds 80% of the time. Mom chooses life because she sees it's her baby in her womb. And we need some help filling up the warehouse at preborn so that they can provide prenatal services and postnatal services. Month of May, $100,000 match. Not kidding. Would you please support preborn.org/wretched at this rather crucial time? preborn.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1910 to 1915. The fundamentals are published and demonstrate the great divide in American Christianity, known as the modernist fundamentalist controversy. Fundamentalists began to set themselves apart from society as a witness for Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So you don't want to send in an email to idea@wretched.org, don't you? Do you? Don't you? So you're one of those people who would prepare to call. Well, we are equipped just for you. Please call 1-877-282-BEEP.
1-877-282-BEEP. 1-877-282-BEEP.
Please try to keep it pithy. That way Joey can nap more. And he doesn't have to edit you. You don't want that.
Do we as human beings have true free will? Or are we in bondage to something or another? I believe Paul says he was a slave in Christ. And then prior to that, I know we're slaves to sin.
There you have it. Do we have a free will? Well, It's in bondage. So is something that is enslaved free? And the answer is no. Now, does that mean you don't make genuine choices? Doesn't mean that either. When you decide, I want Fruit Loops versus Frosted Flakes, that is a genuine decision that you are making. Your will is in bondage to Satan, but you make genuine free will decisions. And this, in my estimation, it sure could relieve a lot of the tension that exists these days. How's it with free will? Where does free will play into it? It doesn't. The only ones that you could say actually a genuine free will would be Adam and Eve. They biffed that. Now our wills are into bondage to Satan. We need to be rescued from the kingdom of darkness, brought into the kingdom of light, where our wills then should be enslaved to Jesus Christ. But that is not to suggest we don't make genuine decisions and that individuals don't have genuine responsibility, for instance, and this is the biggie, hearing the gospel and doing something with it. Yes, their will is into bondage. Yes, God must remove the chains. Yes, they must be set free, not set themselves free, be set free. And yet, their decision to reject it is their genuine decision for which they will be responsible. You say, that causes some tension in my brain. I believe it was Spurgeon who said, I'm always asked, how do you reconcile these two things? And he said, I don't reconcile friends. They are reconciled in the mind of God, and I don't need to get it totally. Please note, this should not wobble your assurance that God's word is true. It should encourage you that it is. A book that you can fully comprehend is a human book. A person that you can get totally is just that, a person. There have got to be things about God that demonstrate how inscrutable are his ways, how unknowable he is, because we can't get him. And we know this, God cannot lie, God cannot contradict himself. Therefore, the issue of bondage of the will, free will, genuine responsibility, God's sovereign power in salvation, they get along just fine. I remember it was John MacArthur being asked at a KKMS symposium, which I remember barely being allowed to attend. I'm not bitter about being thrown out of that radio station. I'm not. Right before John MacArthur came, not bitter at all. It's not that I remember these things. It just happens that I brought it up right now because, well, I'm still a little bitter. The point is, John MacArthur was at this event. And he was asked a similar question to this. And he brought up other instances that help us understand there are not a ton of things in the Bible that appear to be contradictions or somehow opposing one another. They have to exist. For instance, your sanctification. Who's responsible? Well, the Holy Spirit. Who is it? You're fully responsible for your sanctification, but you can't do any of it without the Holy Spirit. So he gets all the credit, but you're fully responsible. Which one is it? Yep, exactly. What about the inspiration of the Bible? Who wrote the Bible? Well, you see, God wrote, he dropped some pen and ink from the scriptures onto some parchment, from the heavens onto some parchment. Well, no, men wrote it. Well, which is it? Yes. Exactly. Don't let these issues trouble you or scare you. And I know these are the types of things, frankly, The pagans don't actually catch on to these. Here's the ones that the pagans like to use. Hey, in the Old Testament, what, like 2 Chronicles says that it was 7,000. And then in 1 Kings, it says 70,000. See, there's mistakes in the Bible. That's the level they go to. They're probably not going to get into soteriology. They're probably not going to get into theological issues like the inspiration of Scripture, sanctification. But we know these things and know that they must exist, because if they don't, then we don't have a Bible that's supernatural, and we do not have a God that is divine.
The way that one is established as a Christian is by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God, who came in the flesh, died on the cross for sins, and rose from the dead on the third day, and that all of us who accept him and truly follow him and repent will actually be saved.
Well, hold on a second. I'm not sure where you're going, sir, but might I just inject a little bit, because we should never be unclear about this. Repentance is a willingness to forsake sins. Repentance is something that happens same time. When you believe, you have to turn from something to another thing. In order to believe, you have to turn from one way, one system, one set of desires to another. In order to repent, you've got to believe. You've got to believe that God is who he says he is. You are what he says you are. Jesus has done what he says that he has done. So those things happen simultaneously. Repentance is a desire to stop sin. I don't want that anymore. I want you. What you injected in there, sir, and I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You also said that we start living a life for God, or that we live our life, and then he saves us. No, he saves us. Then we start living our life for God. Just want to make sure that we're clear on it. And if I might, and this is going to sound a little bit nitpicky, because it is, but it's important. We don't accept Jesus. God grants repentance and faith, and he accepts us.
The way that one is established as a Christian is by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God, who came in the flesh, died on the cross for sins, and rose from the dead on the third day, and that all of us who accept him and truly follow him and repent will actually be saved. I fail to see how Oneness Pentecostals or Semi-Arians are not saved. There doesn't seem to be anywhere in the Bible that clearly distinguishes that you should understand the Godhead perfectly. And I can understand why somebody like a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon might not be considered saved, because they believe in tritheism, or they believe that Jesus is a lowercase God or something along those lines. But when it comes to a Semi-Arian or a modalist, I just don't see how we could possibly say they're not saved. They affirm all of the fundamentals. That's my question. Thank you for taking it.
You know what? It's a very fair question, and it is not wild, but it's one that requires a great deal of precise language here. I think, sir, that the answer to your conundrum is timing. What does 1 John 2 tell us? Repeatedly, that he who does not believe that Jesus is the Christ is Antichrist. Hold on, what's that? It's an echoing of what John recorded and heard when Jesus said, I and the Father are one. So clearly, John taught it because Jesus taught it. And he says that if you do not believe in Christ as God, that you do not believe that the Father and Son are one, you're out. Now, that tells us that our Trinitarian theology is important. Here's a question. Does somebody need to understand the Trinity in order to be saved? And I think the answer to that is, I don't think so. They don't need to fully understand that. Now, look, I think it is best to do that, even with a Jehovah's Witness, because they're gonna have to get it later. Nevertheless, I always think it's best, the more theology up front, the better, because otherwise you have to wait for timing. So let's just say somebody don't hear about the Father, which I don't think you can preach the gospel without the Father. I think that's an error in preaching the gospel, because the cross doesn't become judicial. It doesn't make any sense. The wrath of God, but Jesus died to satisfy the wrath of God. You can't not talk about the Father. So I always think it is very important to talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. It helps the gospel to make sense. Let's say somebody, they just hear about Jesus, died for your sins. This person has been convicted by God, and they repent and they put their trust in Jesus Christ. Is that enough? And I think the answer to that is yes, it is enough. But now here's what's going to happen. They're going to start going to church. They're going to read 1 John 2 and go, wait a second. I've got to believe that Jesus Christ and the Father are one. hold on. I'm not sure that I believe that. In fact, I've decided I don't believe that. Now what have you got? Well, you got yourself a bit of a mess, and you've got somebody who's revealing if their theology will not submit to correct Christology and soteriology and Trinitarian theology, then they're not saved, because that's what 1 John 2 teaches, and so does Jesus. So the individual is going to realize their salvation by their proclamation of their understanding of correct theology. So to answer your question, and I always this always makes me nervous, yes, indeed, it is possible. But the person who is genuinely saved and when they just believe in Jesus will also believe in Trinitarian theology. And that is why it depends on the oneness Pentecostal. If they've been under the delusion of bad teaching, that they could be saved. But once they get instructed, they should go, "Ah, I'm going to forsake that oneness Pentecostalism business and believe in the Trinity, without which a man or woman cannot be saved." Until tomorrow, go serve your king.